Good morning. Thank you, Tom. You just transported us to a different place. That was amazing. On such a glorious day to have this setting set for us by Mozart. I loved it. My name is Sarah Lynn Keller. I'm the Director of Spiritual Vitality here at First Congregational Church of Natick, and I greet you this morning with a warm welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. And I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us virtually this morning via our live stream or recorded worship. Whether we are in different places or together, we are one body in Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. I have a few announcements this morning. We welcome Sarah Hubble back to our pulpit today. Welcome, Sarah. Sarah attended Andover Newton Theological School, graduating in 2004, and has been an associate and solo pastor at various congregations in Metro West, including Franklin, Marlborough, Hopedale, and others. She's also been a hospice chaplain in the area, and prior to being ordained, Sarah was a national park ranger in various parts of the United States. She's married to Doug and has two grown children, and we are so happy to have her join us again this morning. We invite those of you who are worshiping at home to gather a candle so that you can light a candle with us when I light the Christ candle in a few minutes. And we'll have an opportunity for you to share your prayer requests, concerns, celebrations later on in the service. So you can email us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, or if you're here in the sanctuary, write something down on an index card and give that to an usher. There will be a post-worship fellowship time downstairs in the vestry for those of you who are here in person. Or for those of you at home, you can join us via Zoom, and that link goes out every Friday and Sunday morning that you can find us there. And then I want you all to save the date. Rally Day is just around the corner Natick Day comes first, Saturday, September 10th, and for those of you who are Natick people, you know that this is a special day. We take over the town. We'll be here on the front porch. This year, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be inviting the town to join us to paint a rock, to show what you love about Natick or a word of inspiration for others, and then come back a week later and find your rock in our church garden. So we're going to tell everyone why Natick rocks. So join us that day. And we are looking for some volunteers. If you're interested in doing that, there is a sign-up genius that's in the link. And then also you could contact Karen Shirley if you're not online but can help us do that. Then the next day, September 11th, is our rally day when we welcome everyone back. We'll have registration for our children's programming and youth programming. And then after worship, we'll have a giant party in the parking lot with food and drinks. Bob Psyche will be on the grill. There will be games and a bouncy house. You can catch up with friends, just gather together, and we hope that we will have some of Natick first responders with us that day as well. So they have been invited to come to our barbecue. So we hope that you can join us for that day. Do we have someone who's going to give us the Dreamcatcher update? Is that you, Janine? Great.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Janine Keaty, and I'm a member of the Dreamcatchers transition team. And I just wanted to give you an update, like Lane did last week, about what we've been up to and what's going to be coming up. The survey is complete. The profile we've started working on is a draft. And coming up, we'll be having cottage meetings, which means small group meetings either at the church or on Zoom or in people's homes. So it's going to give you an opportunity to reconnect with people from our church and to also talk about what is important to you about the church and what you think the vision is for the church in the coming years. So that's going to be really important that you participate in that, and we will be having sign-ups online and also by paper downstairs afterwards for the various dates that we're going to have these small cottage gatherings. Let me see, did I miss something? Oh yes, we're going to be having also September the 25th on Sunday a celebration of FCC where we're going to look historically at what the church has been doing and what's been really meaningful to you in the past years that we've been doing and you might like to see carried over. And we'll get more of a sense of who you really believe this church to be and where we're going. Then we're going to have a meeting with neighbors, again, the cottage meetings. Oh no, that's the meeting with neighbors with our local police chief and the head, Anna Nolan, the head of our school department, and other people who are very instrumental in the town to get feedback from them and a conversation going with them as far as what is our church's role here in Natick. And then we hope to have the profile finally put together by the end of November. So So that's where we're at, and please look for our notices in the link or the sign-up sheets for the cottage meetings downstairs in the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
All right, let us continue our worship by lighting the Christ candle. We light this candle because Christ lives and because the Spirit moves among us. Let us light the Christ candle together as a reminder that Christ is indeed with us today. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Children of God, welcome to this place of love and grace. Welcome to this place of hope and perseverance. God invites all of us to be a part of the beloved community. God invites all of us to share in the good news. We are welcome just as we are. We are loved just as we are. In gratitude for all of this, let us worship God. Please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 111, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Gracious God, make each of us an instrument of your grace. Weave us into a community showing forth your love and tenderness. Bless us and our differences, and undergird our courage to stand together. We call on you today to gather us in your love. Lead us to better know you and glorify you on each step of the journey of our lives. Amen. When we offer God our confession, we join the beautiful work of reconciliation, which begins with our reconciling with God. Trusting in our partner in grace, let us make our confession, praying together. God of tender mercies, we admit that sometimes we don't know what we do with ourselves. We anger at the slightest insult and imagine great vengeance upon those who wronged us. We laze about in the good news of our faith and do not consider the deep commitment it requires. We care for ourselves, but not for others. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive us. Help us to repent and make us whole. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. The love of God is beyond measure, and you are included in that love. Know that you are forgiven and thus freed to love and serve.
Our God of reconciliation and peace offers that peace to us and encourages us to offer peace to one another. So I invite you now to make a gesture of peace. In these COVID times, it might be just saying namaste with your lips kind of shortly together, or just an elbow in friendship. But we invite you now, those of us here and those at home, or wherever you're listening, to offer one another the sign of peace. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
God offers us not only peace, but offers us the opportunity to participate in building the kingdom that God would have here on earth, even as it is in heaven. And so God asks us to be co-creators with God by offering our time and our talent and our treasures for the work of this church, for the good of the world. Let us now receive the morning offering. Those of you here and those at home, I invite you to put your hand out in a gesture of blessing and then join together in this prayer of thanksgiving that together we may bless these gifts and the givers. As we offer our treasure and hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of hope, peace, life, and community to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's scripture comes from three locations in the Bible. First, from the Psalms, from the book of Hebrews, and then the Gospel of Luke. So starting in Psalm 81, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. I am your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. And then from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, for though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 1, and then 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down in the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by the host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to go down to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. May God bless our hearing and understanding of these words of Scripture. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts here be acceptable in our sight. For you are the rock, our Redeemer. And it is in your grace we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed that the Bible talks a lot about food? Anybody ever notice that? There's the abundance in the Garden of Eden, and that one fruit that was kind of off limits. Then there's the story of Adam and Sarah offering a meal to three strangers who turn out, in some versions like Rublev's icon, to be the three persons of the Trinity. There's manna in the wilderness. There's the Passover feast. And there's Esther preparing banquets for King Xerxes after she has fasted for 3 days and prayed to save her people from annihilation by the other dinner guest that day, Haman. Then there's all the meals that Jesus shares. Boy, the guy liked to eat, didn't he? He shares meals with sinners like Zacchaeus and tax collectors like Matthew, and with all the disciples, and with 5,000 followers with a couple of fish and some bread. And then there's the meals with the Pharisees, like in this morning's story. Jesus never restricted who he ate dinner with. He accepted invitations from all kinds of people, whether it was disappointed disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, or Pharisees who were out to trap him into making a mistake, like in this morning's story. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a meal where people are watching to see if you're gonna make a mistake. It's kind of a tense situation. I remember the first time I went to a really fancy restaurant. I was a child, and it was Christmas time, and we were in a big hotel in Chicago, and there was all these glasses and all these silverwares, you know, knives and forks and spoons, and it was the first time I'd ever seen all that. I mean, I grew up in central Missouri. We didn't have that kind of stuff that I'd been exposed to. But the thing that caught my eye was not all the plates and glasses. I have to confess, it was the tower of treats that they'd set up on the dessert table that was stacked up like a Christmas tree. Oh boy, that's where my attention went. My eyes bugged out seeing all of that. But if you've never been in that kind of setting, you might have seen it like at Downton, you know, if you ever watched Downton Abbey, or if you watch Bridgerton, you know, some fancy series, that can be intimidating and confusing. And that's a story like from Queen Victoria's time, where there was an ambassador from a brand new, just conquered British colony. And their first ambassador was there in the court in London, trying to impress. And he's sitting at this long banquet table with lots of dishes and lots of glasses and lots of silverware. And in front of him was a small bowl with a slice of lemon in it and some water. And so he picked it up and he drank it because he was thirsty. And of course, the other lords and ladies around him started whispering and commenting and pointing. And Queen Victoria took immediately, when she saw what was going on, took her finger bowl, which is what that was for cleaning your fingers, and drank out of it just as the ambassador had. And everybody then had to take a drink out of it too, because the queen had. She'd offered hospitality to this person, acceptance, total acceptance. She wasn't out to embarrass or trap her guests. She wanted them to have a good time, unlike the Pharisees in this morning scripture from Luke. In this morning story, Jesus saw that the other guests were concerned with judging him and securing the most honored place at the table for themselves. They weren't concerned about offering hospitality to him. He'd watch the other guests watching him. After all, he had just cured a man of dropsy in their presence. Now, dropsy is what we might call edema these days, a large swelling and lots of fluid. And the man had been cured, but it was a Sabbath. And he was at the house of the head Pharisee. And of course, the Pharisees regarded that as breaking the law of the Sabbath. You don't do work on the Sabbath. But then Jesus had challenged them, saying, if you have an ox or an ass, and it falls into a well, or if it needs to get water that day, don't you untie it and take care of it and lead it to water? And of course the Pharisees would, but they were silent. They didn't want to respond to Jesus calling them out on how this human being who'd suffered could be cured on the Sabbath. They didn't want to answer that. They remained silent. Then the next scene after this is them all scrambling to get the best seat at the house and the best seat at the table. That was routine back then. Honor and shame were big parts of Roman society and Jewish society and the society in the first century. In fact, there's commentaries by Roman authors who were really upset because they got put in what they thought was the wrong place at a table, that they should be higher up. And we have written records of how important they thought the place at the table really was. But don't we know about that too, about pecking order? Don't we know about, prestige and wanting to be recognized and having position and having our peers know that, we're worthwhile? And sometimes when we're so busy seeking our own status and recognition, we're putting blinders on our eyes because we aren't seeing as God would have us see. God encourages us to think no more or no less of ourselves than we ought. Each of us has God-given gifts, as does everyone else. We are all made in God's image, and we are beloved of God. When we spend our energy trying to edge out the other person to get a higher seat at the table, we forget that there will always be people who are smarter than we are, more beautiful, and more accomplished than we are. When they show up at the table and are placed higher at in the pecking order by the host, and we're told to move down, we're humbled. We need to remember that our job is just to be the best persons we can be that God's made us to be by the grace of God. And Jesus models that for us on how to be this human, fully human being. Of course, he was fully divine too, but in his spirit being within us, that gives us the power to go forward. He takes invitations from rich and poor and eats with everyone. He invites us to the dinner party, even if we, like Peter, who will deny him, or the others who desert him around the table, or Judas who betrayed him. He encourages us to know we are loved and that we are called to be inclusive, to have others come to the table with us, regardless of our social status or wealth, our age or race or gender, or the other divisions that we would assign to keep others away from the table. Now, when you focus on God's point of view, it can change the way you feel and how you treat others. All of those other guests at the Pharisees' table were so busy puffing them up, it was like so many balloons being filled up with hot air. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, puffed up like a balloon. Don't we get a lot of that right now? I don't know how many phone calls you've gotten from politicians running for office right now as the primaries approach. We're saying, I'm the greatest, I can do this and that. And it's thinking not more or less of yourself than you could, but there's a lot of hot air, is there not? And there's people who are convinced that I can do anything because I've got the right to do it. Jesus reminds us, don't think too highly or too lowly of yourself and others. Know the truth about yourself and others and be set free, free to see yourself in God's light. Now Jesus suggests, then take the next step. Invite those people to your banquet, to your house, who can't pay you back, the ones who can't reciprocate, who can't offer you any glory or honor. I don't know how it would change the inviter, but I do know how it has changed me when that happened to me one time in that era BC, before children and before cell phones. I was in my late 20s, and my husband and I were camping. After all, I was a park ranger back then. You know, we were in North Cascades National Park, close to Seattle, Washington. And we decided on the spur of the moment, after 3 days of camping and hiking, and by the way, there's no showers in that campground, that we were going to drive to Glacier National Park. Great. End of August, similar to this kind of a weekend, right? Well, we decided to do it on the spur of the moment. I thought I knew it all. I knew that the California school system had gone back and started. I knew that Washington and Oregon had gone back to school. And so there weren't going to be any kids around to take up campsite. Of course, it's not going to be busy at Glacier. That was a long drive, but I was so sure and so full of my own hot air that it wasn't going to be a problem to find a place to camp or even a hotel that we might get a shower. Oh, that hot air filled up my balloon to the fullest. We started driving. It was a long drive, crossing all of Washington State, part of Idaho. You're going into Montana. And 50 miles away from Kalispell, Montana, which is on the western entrance of Glacier National Park, started seeing no vacancy. No vacancy. Don't camp here. And I'm kind of getting a little nervous. It gets to be sunset, and we're 20 miles away from Kalispell, and it's no vacancy everywhere. It is just, there is nothing. And all those little parks that you might want to throw a tent out in, saying, no camping here. Oh, we got there at night. You know, it was nighttime by the time we got to Kalispell, and we were hungry. So we pulled into this, like, a little, you know, chain restaurant. I think it was a Ponderosa Steakhouse. And we just started asking our waitress, is there any place around here we can throw out our tents and not get us arrested? And the prospects were very, very dismal. Let me tell you, the hot air gone out of my balloon, because I knew I'd really messed up. And our waitress, a woman named Patty, she said, well, you know, most people realize it's pretty busy around here on Labor Day weekend. Oops. Big oops. I'd forgotten it was Labor Day weekend. Glacier gets 10% of its annual visitation on Labor Day weekend. It's the last hurrah of summer. And I'm sure back then they got 1.5 million visitors a year. Now it's closer to 4 million. So I'm going, oh my, boy, did I make a mistake. And I was stuck. We were stuck. But then Patty went back in the kitchen and asked around and said, you know, wait here, to my husband and I. And we waited. I mean, after all, what else could we do? There's nowhere to go. When her shift came to a close, Patty came over to us and said, you're coming home with me tonight. When I moved out here from Nebraska a year ago, I had to sleep in my pickup truck. And I swore that no one was ever going to have to do that again if I could do something about it. Here we were, dirty, smelly, had no way to offer this person anything except our gratitude. And we went home to Patty's house that night. We offered to pay her something for the room. She wouldn't take it. We put our sleeping bags out on the floor. She said, oh, no, you're not doing that. You're sleeping on my bed. And here's towels. Go clean up. That was a wise move. We slept at Patty's that night. And she said, you know, she closed the door to her bedroom that we were using, she said, oh, by the way, I've got the morning shift tomorrow. I've got to work breakfast. So just make sure that when you leave, you lock the door on the way out. I don't know how that changed Patty, but I know her hospitality to strangers, to people who could no way ever pay her back, changed me. And I've tried to, when I can, pay it forward ever since. Because that kind of hospitality that Jesus would have us offer to one another can really make a difference. It made a difference in my life. I don't know what difference it made to Patty, but she kept her promise to herself that she wasn't going to let anybody else sleep in their pickup truck that night. And I offer you that opportunity now to know the gift that I got. I know the gift I got that night was to meet one of God's messengers, which is another word for God's angels. And may the blessing that comes with following Jesus' advice about banquet etiquette, to not think too highly of yourself or too lowly of yourself, to view people through God's eyes, and then invite whom God would have come to the party, be your blessing as well. Amen. Jesus calls us to many things, but Jesus calls us to connect with one another and to connect with God, and we can do that through prayer. I invite us now, I'm going to start us in prayer, and then I'm going to invite you to share your concerns and celebrations. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this beautiful day, for the gift of summer, and the abundance of this season, with the lush harvests of fruits and vegetables, and the opportunity to share that good news with others. We thank you for the gift of the relaxation that summer has offered, the pause in busy lives. And we ask you, God, to bless those who do not have peace right now, for those who are struggling in Ukraine and elsewhere, in our cities, in Dallas, where the floods have been so bad, and where the droughts and flash floods are always a concern. Dear God, we know that you watch over us all and you are with us all. And we share now both the joys and concerns that we have on our hearts. Let us share those now. Are there any that have come in through the Zoom?
There are two.
Do
you want me to say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a prayer request from Nan Alexander. Pray for Lauren as she embarks on a semester abroad in Dublin. Give her confidence and curiosity to make the most of the experience. And a prayer from Doug and Sarah Hanna, a prayer of celebration for the life of Ted Barrett, who passed away earlier this month.
Prayers for Fred Florindo, stepdad of Wayne and Hank Sretter. I hope I said that right, or close enough. Are there other joys or celebrations this morning? Prayers of celebration and support for all students and parents and teachers who are welcoming the beginning of school years. Prayers, too, for those people who are starting in new places, whether it's college or new schools, as they've made the transition from elementary to middle school and middle school to high school, that they may find and have wonderful friendships and wonderful experiences this year. And may they have patience and love and joy. Other celebrations or concerns? I invite us now to continue our prayers in the silence, because the Holy Spirit knows that there are those prayers that are too fragile for words, that we can lift them up now in the silence. Jesus gave us words to pray when we weren't quite sure what words to use. I invite us now to join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite those of you here in the sanctuary to rise as you are able as we sing our closing hymn. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace and joy and the love of Christ and the love of God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit be with you now in this day, in this week, and in the weeks to come. Amen.